It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us on the telephone line. Hello there, sir.
What is going on, gentlemen? I am glad to know. I didn't realize we have moved to satellite radio. Cursing is on the table. Booyakasha! I got a bunch of them. Oh, baby.
You know, it's all part of deregulation. The FCC's got like one guy trying to listen to every radio station in America. Right. He's not going to know.
They got nothing.
No.
They got nothing. Carrie, how long do we have with you? It's like the beginning of the end of the beginning.
Yeah. Just over 2 months.
Okay.
Not over two months, absolutely. Under 2 months.
Under 2 months on the show, but just over 2 months for out of the state.
I mean, when you leave the show, you're dead to me. So,
got it. So, but this is the last minute in your house. Are you moving in with Rich?
Actually, a different coworker. Yeah, Scotty.
Oh. God bless him. God bless you all. Well, awesome. Man, this is so sad. Like I hate it when my loved ones move away. But and you're complaining about this. I mean, I was just down in Georgia to remind everybody. I mean, you can see the air down there. Like, you think this is nothing. This is like pleasant up here.
Well, look, the good thing about Carrie leaving, though, Eric, as a man who enjoys travel and seeing the world. Carrie's got a mother-in-law apartment in the house down in New Orleans, so I mean, I'm saying this for him, but you got a place to stay when you go there.
I should go. Everybody tells me I'd love New Orleans, but man, again, it's like the idea of when you can see the air, I have no interest.
Much like winter here, the unbearable heat in New Orleans is only for a couple of months,
okay,
maybe three months.
Isn't that weird, like the weird trade-offs we make? Now, are there alligators or crocodiles there? Because I have now been informed of the land speed of these animals, and that scares me.
There are alligators in a body of water that's within a quarter mile of my house.
Yeah. Yeah, like the gin and tonics and alligators thing. Like...
But I will direct you to the areas where the alligators aren't.
All right.
And they can, as you know, they can run fast. But I was told many years ago, they're terrible at taking corners. Mm-hmm. So if you just keep running in circles, just make sure that they tire out before you do.
I think that has been debunked.
Oh, really? Oh.
That's all right. Well, listen, this is my segue into wine.
Great.
Speaking of Georgia, we're going to talk about Georgia, not the state. Not the state.
No.
We're going to talk a little bit about the country. And so this is kind of, this is almost going to be like a geography lesson / world politics, and then we'll sort of get into the wine part. But what I want to talk about, maybe today and next week, depending on where we get, is the fact that there's a huge, huge renewed interest in where wine comes from. Like, not, you know, where it comes from, but like where it came from originally. Where did it start? And the fact of the matter is that the oldest known winery in the world is in a cave in Armenia, right? And we sort of, this is the royal we, but a lot of folks do, sort of talk about the old world of where wine comes from. And you know, to a different extent, East, this sort of vast idea of Eastern Europe, and the fact that, yes, this is indeed the heartland of wine, Eastern Europe / the land bridge into the Middle East. But I don't really think Americans, because we're so well-educated, have any real idea of what's going on. And I say this even now, bearing in mind that there's literally a major war in Ukraine, which is part of this land bridge into the Middle East. So when we're talking about Georgia, I'm just going to remind everybody that the country of Georgia and Armenia that we were just talking about, where the first known evidence of winemaking is nowhere near the other parts of, quote, Eastern Europe that we think about. especially when we're talking about the early wine civilization thing. Greece is one of the things that we're going to talk about. It's nowhere near Georgia. There's a whole Black Sea and Turkey in between them. And, of course, you know, places like, we sort of toss them off, like Slovenia and Hungary and blah, blah, blah. They're nowhere near Georgia or Armenia. Nowhere near. And there's sort of, I mean, Hungary is sort of near Ukraine. It obviously it shares a small border. But, like, the places where the battles are going on right now are, again, nowhere near any of these things. There's just vast masses of land between them. So when people come in, and this is just to sort of educate and temper expectations, and say, hey, do you have wines from this place to this place to this place? Because I spent some time there as a student, whatever. Wow, they're very, very different places. And the people who are trying to bring in wine from, quote, Eastern Europe are up against all this and more. And by more, I mean things like armed conflict, etc. And let's just talk about it briefly. I mean, when you're talking about Georgian wine, you're talking about, and wine in general, right? You ship it on containers on boats primarily, right? So you're talking about the Black Sea and going through Istanbul and getting into the Mediterranean, etc., and then thence into the Atlantic and crossing over here. These things aren't being flown on, like, the Concorde, which is good because that doesn't exist anymore. But moving on. So that's Georgian wine. Then when we start to talk about other places that are, you know, progenitors of the wine trade that we know now, again, they're still in places where a lot of importers have trouble getting to. And so as we start to talk about, frankly, the really, really generous amount of wines that we do have from all these differing countries, just bear in mind the travels they're going through and the troubles to get them here. So just that's my sort of preamble to all this. So as I said, yeah, the earliest known winery that we know of dates from 4100 BC. It's called the Areni One Winery. As I said, it's in Armenia. It's literally in a cave. Why? Because there's temperature control from whichever supreme being you believe in. caves are good like that. Also, there's no UV damage. There's just, I mean, it's exactly what all these crunchy folks are going back to these days is, you know, no intervention. Yeah, they figured that out a long time ago. Other early traces of winemaking, as I said, Georgia, circa 6000 BC, Iran, which was not Iran at the time, that's circa 5000 BC, Sicily, circa 4000 BC, reached the Balkans around 4500 BC, and was, of course, consumed, celebrated, etc., in ancient Greece, Rome. So, as I said, this is a huge, vast swath of land, and we'll kind of go through all of it. But right now, I'm sort of focusing on Georgia because Georgia has really, really undergone a renaissance. People are traveling there now to learn these ancient ways of making wine, which basically, and I think we can all sort of identify with this, anybody who keeps wine or beer in their fridge, basically the roots of Georgian viticulture kind of amount to this. They would dig holes in the their kitchens or their storerooms or wherever it was coldest. They put grapes in there to ferment, and when you would put wild grape juice into a pit and bury it, it would ferment. Hooray! And because it was cold, you wouldn't get, like, nasty things. It would ferment sort of in a, you know, a nice temperature-controlled environment, if you will. And then they would just take from that and every now and then take it out and clean it, whatever. So it was basically their own little version of, you know, their house wine. So that's where we'll start. I know I'm running out of time, but that's where we're going to start next time is, you know, basically people making wine the way that they're getting back to now. What's old is new again. In the meantime, take care of each other, and Kerry, enjoy your last evening.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Cheers.
Have a good week, Eric. We'll see you next Tuesday.
I'll do it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, sir. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. It's Message in the Bottle every week here on Downtown.